number crunching.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. In case you didn't know, but I bet you did, it's President Obama's 100th day in office. He's got a budget that's before Congress and that appears ready to make it through sometime today. Marketplace's Steve Henn joins us now from Washington. Steve, did the president get what he wanted from the budget?
Well, he got most of what he wanted, but not everything. One thing he didn't get was $750 billion for future bank bailouts. You know, the original bank bailout has just over about $100 billion left in it, and some analysts think that may not be enough. So the Obama administration wanted to at least have the ability to replenish that. But in most other ways, the president got almost everything he asked for. This budget sets money aside for health care and climate change initiatives. And, you know, perhaps the biggest victory is the budget resolution creates a path to pass sweeping health care reforms with just 51 votes in the Senate. Now, that might not sound like a big deal, but Republican leaders hate this. Normally, to get anything through the Senate, you need 60 votes, which makes any given bill pretty easy to kill. So getting that language included might just be Obama's biggest win here.
So we're talking about a lot of money, at least $3.5 trillion. What else is in this thing?
There's more than $1 trillion in discretionary spending and $760 billion in tax cuts over the next 5 years. And it's going to put the government on a path to some really big deficits, including a $1.2 trillion debt next year.
I can't imagine, Steve, that Congress is very happy about that.
No. You know, Republicans have been criticizing the administration for months now about deficit spending. And some members of the president's own party, Blue Dog Democrats, have been really worried about this. Now, the Blue Dogs are conservative Democrats, and they've made fiscal responsibility their key issue for years. And members of the Blue Dogs in the House actually balked at passing this budget yesterday. And they forced the administration and Senate leaders to promise that they would get behind a new piece of legislation that would, in the future, force Congress to pay for any new tax cuts or spending programs with either new taxes or cuts in other places in the budget. They got that deal in place. We'll see if that bill passes. But obviously, there's a lot of concern on the Hill right now.
Marketplace's Steve Henn joining us from Washington. Steve, thanks.
Sure thing.
Market's pretty much flat yesterday. Everybody, Dow, NASDAQ, S&P, off just a fraction of a percent. European shares are up by a half a percent or more today. Asian markets closed mostly up. Within the hour, we're expected to hear about the nation's gross domestic product. According to some analysts, the economy probably contracted about 5% in the first quarter of the year. Not really anything to pop the champagne about. But better than the 6.3% reading from the quarter before. No doubt when the official number comes out, we're going to hear all the analysis about whether the fallout is easing.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
The Centers for Disease Control says there are at least 5 dozen cases of swine flu across the country. One death was confirmed about an hour ago, a 23-month-old child in Texas. South of the border in Mexico, the number of deaths is approaching 160. And as worldwide cases multiplied this week, stocks took a dive, shares of airlines plummeted, pork producers saw a big drop in sales. Economists worry about the outbreak's added drag to the fallout. But on this one, commentator Robert Rice says we should all forget the pure business angle.
Many are deeply worried about what a swine flu pandemic could do to the already weakened U.S. economy. I understand their worry, but it strikes me as misplaced. The real worry is that lots of people could get sick and many could die. Thinking about a pandemic as an economic crisis assumes there's something called an economy whose health can be separated from the well-being of real people. It's like viewing the financial meltdown as a crisis for Wall Street measured in how low the Dow sinks when millions of people are losing their jobs, their savings, and their homes. In the end, an economy is nothing but people. If vast numbers of people are doing well, the economy should be judged a success. If many people are hurting, the economy is failing. Health is a big factor. The budget resolution that just emerged from a House-Senate conference fast-tracks universal health insurance, which means the upcoming bill won't be subject to a possible filibuster. This maneuver upsets those who believe the country cannot afford universal health insurance, even though we now have the most costly, inefficient, and inequitable system of health care in the world. Opponents of reform believe it will harm the economy. But if you think of the American economy as 300 million people, 44 million of whom are not insured, and many others who can barely hold on to the insurance they have, the question is not whether the economy can afford universal health insurance, but whether we Americans can continue to bear the cost of not having it. If in the months ahead we're unfortunate enough to find ourselves in the midst of a dangerous pandemic, I doubt our main concern will be its effect on the Dow or the GDP. We'll concern ourselves with how to protect those who are most vulnerable to it and how to care for those who have contracted the disease. We do well to focus on these questions right now and stay focused on how to make and keep Americans healthy.
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. And this final note, years ago, growing up in Alabama, I remember when a Bruno's supermarket opened in my neighborhood. It was a big deal. Bruno's was a big deal. The Birmingham-based chain, started decades ago by an Italian immigrant, eventually had hundreds of stores throughout the South. Today, a bankruptcy court is auctioning off the remnants of Bruno's, which employs about 4,000 people. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.